Fucking ho! Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Look, Jenna's got her hat on. I'll put a hat on temporarily. I think I also have a Santa mask and other stuff. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the Atheist Experience. We are live. It is December 20th, 2020. It's 2020, which also happens to be my mom's birthday. And I called her and told her happy birthday. And then I said, I got to go take a shower because I'm going to go do this atheist show, which, of course, I'm sure made her very happy on her birthday. But yeah, so here we are. How are you, Jenna? I don't hear Jenna. But while I don't hear Jenna, we'll...
I'm back. I'm sorry.
You're back. There you go. How are you?
I had to cough earlier. I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
I am ready. I'm not going to be going anywhere with the holidays. Let me get the announcements out of the way, and then we can just dive right in and take calls. By the way, if you had been wanting to call the show, we always prioritize theists who can call in and tell us what they believe and why. There are, I think there's like 8 callers on hold, but you can call in now. And for those of you watching us live, if you look directly above the chat, right up there, I think you'll see a donate button, and 100% of those donations go to the Atheist Community of Austin. They don't go to Google or YouTube or anybody else. You can also order merchandise to support the programs. bit.ly/AEN merch for our various merchandise there. If you want to join and become a member on YouTube, there's a membership link there as well. That'll get you special emotes and I don't actually know what all else. But you can also go to patreon.com/theatheistexperience. To support us there as well. We are sponsored essentially by the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 nonprofit educational corporation providing positive atheism and the separation of religion and government. In addition to the various other ways that you can reach us, there are 2 Facebook groups that we've been promoting lately. One is the Atheist Experience fan group, and the other one is the Atheist Experience private fan group. I could tell you what goes on there, but... I probably won't. In any case, in addition to this program, the ACA also produces on Thursday evenings, Secular Sexuality on Friday, Truth Wanted, and earlier on today, on Sundays, Talk Heathen. And then in the gap between Talk Heathen and Atheist Experience, we have now have nonprofits. However, today's episode of Nonprofits had an audio glitch, and our producer's been editing that, and it will air after Atheist Experience is over today. But it's new content, new hosts, and we'll get it out as quickly as we can. To quote Vern, you can't stop the nonprofits. You can only slow them down. And so they got slowed by a couple hours. As a reminder, as the holidays approach, we'll be shut down between Christmas and New Year. And we'll be doing, we did a bunch of recording the other day for a special series of new content that's a bit of fun. And that'll be up over the next week as we won't be doing live programs. But we will be back live on January 3rd. And I think that's all the announcements, but let's put the crew up, because the other day when we decided to do all this recording, it was, hey, let's do a hangout with Matt at noon, and then we'll do some recording stuff starting at 2, and it'll probably take maybe, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. And it went, it was closer to like 7 or so, and we had fun, and it was a lot of work, and those are the people, some of the people that made it happen. There were a lot of other people behind the scenes making the content go smoothly, or as smoothly as we possibly could. It's strange. By the way, that's an impressive hat. It wobbles. Thanks.
It's Eric's, actually.
It's like a weebly. Yep. Awesome. Did you have anything you wanted to get to before we start jumping in to take callers?
Mm-mm, I'm good.
Awesome. Here we go then. Let's start with, I guess, a fairly frequent flyer here in the recent months. Enoch in Pennsylvania, how are you? Welcome back. You're on with Jenna and Matt.
Good. Good to be on again. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Thanks.
How can we help?
It was just basically, I was wondering what you guys thought on why humans are so much different from other animals. A few things I thought about: we have morality, humans have religion, humans have philosophy. No other, like, of the millions of species have those things. It seems like there's so much more.
That's not true. That's not completely true. And by the way, all the things you described are about our thoughts. And so humans are animals, and all animals are different. And humans, as far as we can tell, are the most intelligent of the animals that are on the planet. But other primates and other great apes do have a sense of fairness and morality, the same sort of driving forces. And many others have a different type of moral structure, where if it's a pack type of animal, there are certain rules that happen between those animals. And you know, there are punishments, including death. So it's not just that we're the only ones that have, we just have a more robust, I guess, sense of morality because we're able to conceive of things better.
Or it could be that we don't even have a better sense of morality. It's just that we can read it better because we are human. I mean, the ants can have some kind of morality, but we can't read their minds. I don't know.
Interesting. Do you know if any animals have religion other than humans?
I don't, because I can't communicate with other animals. So I don't know what sort of irrational beliefs they might have. But what difference does it make? I can't run as fast as a cheetah. I have a different diet than other animals. I mean, you could pick any characteristic and say, you're different from other animals, but that's true for every animal. We're not special. We're just different.
It seems like we're really special.
Yes, it seems like we're special to us, but I'd say we're a little biased, and it's because we've decided to prioritize intellect and the ability to conceive, right?
I'm curious if you've studied evolution at all.
I've studied it a little. I don't know a whole lot.
I don't really know a whole lot about evolution either. I know the gist of it, I think. What I would recommend is maybe looking into that. I think that might help you understand a little bit better of how we may be animals, just a different kind of animal.
I'd love to know what you're trying to get at, though, because you're like, why are we so different?
Yeah.
But we're not that different. We're different in the ways that we recognize. And yes, I'll grant you, having a brain that can conceive and communicate, it's what makes us, and it's what makes us think we're special. And to us, we are special, and that's all that matters. But what it seems like what you're saying is, why are we the only ones who can think this way? And that seems peculiar to you, that other animals can't think this way. But the truth is, many of the other great apes think similarly, just not identically. And dolphins and... So what's the point? What is it? Like, let's imagine for a second that your initial suspicion was correct and humans are vastly superior to other animals on Earth. What conclusion could we reach from that?
There's no necessary conclusion we could reach. It's just, if we came about from the same natural process, I don't understand, like, how it's possible we could be so different, I guess, is my...
Yeah. And so if we came about by the same... If we came about by the same natural process, why are there so many animals that are faster than me? Why are there so many animals that see better in different environments, including areas of the spectrum that aren't even part of the visible spectrum that I can do? Why are there animals that can hear better than me? To each of them, they're going to look at that and say, you know, think that they're superior.
I wonder if there are animals that have some kind of moral code that never attack each other, because we attack each other a lot, and I think that puts us a little bit lower on the morality.
There are some species that we have no evidence that they kill their own.
Right.
There are others that do. And so maybe that's a case that we are the inferior ones, that we do kill our own, and we kill others.
And we hurt each other.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. That was interesting.
It's nice when there's a question that you can actually just, like, answer or correct a bit of misinformation, because I don't know everything about anything, but right. Definitely not, you know, biology and stuff like that. It's just, I get it. I understand. To us, it feels like we're not just special, but it feels like we're super special. And it's because of this ability to communicate. We can talk about it. I don't know that there's too many other species that would sit around and have a conversation back and forth between them about how they're so much more special than, you know, the ants and grasshoppers and fish. To hell with those fish.
That could be what they're doing when the crickets are chirping back and forth. That could be what they're talking about. Who knows?
In some way, I mean, we do have a good understanding of different animals' abilities to conceive and right. Problem solve, but we've gotten that wrong, because the phrase bird brain was used as kind of like, oh, you're a bird brain, as insult. And yet crows use tools, and other birds are incredibly good at mimicking and doing other things and building structures. It is almost every sense where we've looked at another creature and gone, ha, well, I'm so superior to you. That's just straight out our bias. You know, yes, I can play chess better than any, you know, a non-human great ape, and certainly better than a pigeon. But
cockroaches can do a lot more.
Yeah, and they're
or just different.
They're going to out-survive us all. They're going to, you know, they can handle radiation that we can't handle.
Right.
Anyway. All right. So, Joey in Indiana, you're calling in to ask, I don't know, questions about skepticism in Star Trek. So, welcome, Joey.
Yeah. Thank you. Jenna and Matt, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
So, I actually had heard, I heard in the past, Matt, but I'd be interested to get Jenna's take on this. Matt, you said something along the lines of you've seen every second of every episode of every season of Star Trek. And so,
but that's no longer true because I'm behind on Discovery.
Oh, okay.
So don't say anything about season two or three of Discovery. I will hang up on you and ban you. That's how anti-spoiler I am.
I'll take a note. You're behind on STD. I will not say anything on it. So yeah, basically, so I was curious, like, when you were a Christian, and the show frequently has moments where the crew has skepticism and science and rationality, not only enlightening people on certain planets, but actually rescuing them from maybe extremism. Like, did that ever, were you ever thinking about how that may have related analogously to, like, Christianity on Earth or any other religion? Was that ever going through your mind?
And have you watched much Star Trek?
I didn't actually find Star Trek until after I turned atheist and became angry about that because I feel like it would have helped me a lot.
I have a feeling, here's the best answer I can give you, Joey, and that is I think it definitely contributed strongly to me changing my mind about a number of things, but I don't think it taught skepticism, and I don't think it necessarily taught, it's hard to do skepticism well in science fiction. It did teach me a little bit more about humanism and politics. It did not impact my view on religion right away. As a matter of fact, of the various science fiction shows that I've loved over the years, the one that I think does the best overall treatment of religion is Babylon 5. And so that Babylon 5 probably impacted my thoughts on religion slightly more than Star Trek, but Star Trek definitely impacted my life more broadly than Bab 5 did.
Okay.
Well, I remember Spock having some flawed logic. Like, I saw one episode, and I remember Spock saying something like, if you eliminate all of the other possibilities and there's only one left, then that's what it must be. And it meant that there was, like, somebody jumping through time. And I'm like, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that you know all the possibilities.
I actually coined the term Doyle's fallacy for that, because Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who was not a good skeptic, who wrote Sherlock Holmes, famously had Sherlock Holmes say that without realizing that there's a huge problem there, which is, one, how do you know you've eliminated all other options? You're not omniscient. And what that means is that Doyle, in his own life, he thought Houdini could dematerialize, because when Houdini escaped from ropes and chains and locks and stuff, they would still be, you know, the knots would still be tied, the chains would still be. And so he thought he had eliminated all other options, and he concluded that Houdini was dematerializing. Now, this is what Sir Arthur Conan Doyle thought, who also fell for the Cottingley Fairy story. He was not a skeptic. And so I've been generally unimpressed with Sherlock Holmes and that statement about when you eliminate all the possibilities, whatever, how do you know you've done that? You don't. And really, what we should be teaching is that when you think you've eliminated all other possibilities, if there's still not positive evidence for what remains, your answer should be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I've actually never seen Babylon 5, so I'll have to check that out for sure.
I will warn you, most people I've heard from don't like most or all of the first season. And that's that way for some shows. It's really difficult for them to get their footing. But for seasons 2 through 5, I thought it did an exceptionally good job. And I love the way it treated religion. Not that it got it right. I'm saying that it was thought-provoking and impacted me on religion.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jenna and Matt. I really appreciate it. And I'll let you guys get on to more theist callers.
Sure. Thanks, Joey.
We got 2 cordial calls in a row.
Hey, well, let's go for a record. I got a lot of theist callers here. By the way, yes, I'm a huge sci-fi fan. There's a number of shows that I've loved over the years. I definitely recommend. It's like the top three are Star Trek, almost all of them, Babylon 5, and Stargate.
I haven't seen any of them, really.
Oh my gosh, Stargate kind of is more along the lines of the mythicist treatment of religion. Babylon 5 just treated religion in a way that was more interesting to me. Maybe not so for other people. Who knows?
Okay.
We have a second Indiana call, this time from Kirby. Kirby, you're on with Jenna and Matt. You've left a couple of religions and wanted to talk about that. So welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon. You know, I was raised in a so-called Christian household by my grandmother. My mother was never religious. She never even talked about religion or God. Most of my family died within a 4-month period between me turning 19 and 20. I banned the Abrahamic God and then started studying Islam on the fringes in my 30s, ended up in a Christian church, left that because Christianity is exceptionally racist. Jumped into Islam, did a deep dive and found the same thing. It's a racist religion. All Abrahamic religions are. And they're all about control, regardless of what color you are. What they want is control of your mind and your spirit, so to speak, and your pocketbook.
Can I ask where you stand on your belief when it comes to these religions? I mean, I believe that they're racist, but I'm curious, does that mean that you don't believe that they're true?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I believe most of what they believe was written down by a man, because no God that would be intelligent enough to create us and this universe would be narrow-minded enough to send anyone to hell.
How do you know that?
For a finite issue.
What makes you believe that's the case? Because if it's possible that there's a God, I see no reason why that God couldn't be malevolent or even apathetic towards us. There could still be a God that just doesn't care, or maybe that God knows more. So how do you determine that if there is a God, it must in fact be good?
I can't make that determination because I don't know. I was about to tell you, even though I do believe there is a God, that this was all created, I couldn't tell you who did it, why they did it, what the purpose was.
Why do you believe it?
And
if you don't know anything about
why do I believe it?
I definitely want to let you answer, and I want to know why you believe it, because that's interesting, and that's what Jenna asked. My thing here is, I'm not even sure what you believe, because all you've told me is that you believe there's a God, but it's not A, B, C, D, and E. So, yeah, what is it you believe and why?
The way I govern my life, is that what you mean or something?
No, I want to know what specifically you believe God to be and why you are convinced that it's true.
I believe that God is pure energy. Honestly, I think he used to be a man. He evolved and evolved and evolved, and he created something just like him. And at some point, we will evolve and evolve and evolve.
Can I pause you for just a quick second? I'm so sorry. You're giving us a lot of details, and that's awesome. You know what we want to know exactly. We want to know what you believe. We're curious. But instead of going into all of the details, like, metaphorically, the icing on the cake, can we establish that there's a cake? Can we establish why you believe that? You say that he used to be a man, you say that he does this, or he's good, or he's not good. What makes you believe that this being exists at all?
Can't give you a tangible reason for it. It's feeling.
Then why do you believe it?
Do you care whether or not? Do you care about what's true? Because there are plenty of feelings that I've had that have turned out to be not true. And so if you believe something because you've got a feeling, that to me sounds like you don't care if it's true.
I absolutely care about what's true.
Okay. So let's imagine Kirby, that there's a God out there, and it's not the God that you think it is, which means the God that you believe in isn't the right one. How would you tell the difference? How would you go about figuring out whether your God is true or some other God is true?
I don't know, but as I've heard you say, he would, and if he's real, and he'll explain it, which is why I live pretty much a neutral life as far as religion goes. If you had to pin me down and say, well, what do you believe, which is what you're saying, I govern myself by the code of Bushido and the Tao. Those two things
I get
keep me from mistreating you and keep me from allowing you to mistreat me.
Yeah, I get that. And as a secular humanist, I would say I use humanism that way. But none of that requires a God. None of that supports a God belief. So, and I don't want to misrepresent you, Kirby, but it seems to me what you're saying is you have a different view of God than almost anybody else you've interacted with or we've interacted with. You have specific things that you feel are true, like this God used to be a man and evolved. Let me point out to you that that's not how evolution works. Individuals do not evolve. I'm not going to evolve into a higher form. Individuals don't evolve. That's not evolution. What evolves is populations. So this notion that your God was once a man but evolved is absolutely nonsense in the sense of biological evolution, and is something for which I think even you would admit you have no evidence for. It's just a feeling. And if you recognize that your feeling could be wrong, why don't you try to find a way to figure out what the truth is?
Figuring out what the truth is simply a matter of opening my mind and not being stuck in dogma.
That's not opening your mind and not being dogmatic is not the path to truth. Evidence is the path to truth.
And how do you find evidence? By looking for it. And
exactly. But
if you're stuck in dog, I get out.
What evidence have you found? What evidence have you found, Kirby?
I found no evidence to prove that there is or is not.
Let me ask you this, Kirby.
But
if I thought that Jenna was an axe murderer, and I spent a bunch of time looking for evidence, and I found no evidence that Jenna is an axe murderer, would it be reasonable for me to believe that Jenna is an axe murderer?
No, but it would it not still be reasonable to continue to look?
It would be, but you're not saying that you're looking for a God. You're saying you believe there is a God.
Well, let's do one even further. Let's say that it's not me that's the axe murderer. It's Daniel who's sitting to my left right here. He's the axe murderer, and you can't even prove that he exists, but I'm trying to convince you that he's an axe murderer.
I'm not going to debate that. I can't, because I don't know Daniel. I've never seen Daniel, and as you said, I don't know if he exists or not. You know, and I don't want you to get me wrong and think that I'm trying to say that I absolutely 100% know that there is a God.
You shouldn't be able to say you 0% know. You don't know. So if somebody asked you, Kirby, are you convinced that a God exists? Your answer at this point should be no, because you don't have the justification for a yes. Right. So it's like if I asked you, Kirby, do you believe that Jenna is an axe murderer?
No, I tell you, I believe Jenna's cute as hell, but not an axe murderer.
Okay, so now you've gone off the rails to addressing how someone looks rather than the issue at hand. The point was not about how Jenna looks or does she look nice. I agree. Jenna's a wonderful person. I know her personally, so she's beautiful to me, no matter how cute she is or anything else. The issue here is if, in fact, you don't have good reason to believe that Jenna's an axe murderer, then when somebody says, Kirby, do you believe Jenna's an axe murderer? Your answer should be?
I don't know. She could.
No. Yeah. And your answer should be, no, I don't have evidence that Jenna's an axe murderer, therefore I won't believe it, right?
No, my answer would be, I don't know whether she is or is not.
Anything that's fair. And I could say
everything
that's fair.
Is possible.
I would accept that.
But I didn't ask what you knew. I asked what you believed to be. I asked what you believed to be true, Kirby.
I have no reason to believe or disbelieve it.
stop saying, I have no reason to believe or disbelieve. Disbelief is the default position. Do you run around assuming everybody's an axe murderer until they're proven not to be? Or do you assume that nobody's an axe murderer until they're proven to be?
Let me rephrase that. I go around assuming everyone is a potential enemy until they show me that they're not.
I don't know why, Kirby. You're refusing to answer the question that you're asked. Did I say anything about potential? Stop, Kirby. I don't give a rat's fucking ass about potential. I didn't ask about potential. I didn't ask, do you believe Jenna is potentially an axe murderer? I asked, do you believe Jenna is an axe murderer? And the answer to that should be no, because you don't have evidence for it, right?
No, you can't. But see, that's just it, brother. You can't tell me what my answer should be.
Tell you what your answer should be, I can, and I'm going to mute you so that I can explain this. If you care about the truth, now we have a should situation. Do you care about the truth? If so, then you should do these sorts of things. If you admit, now, all right, I will retract this. Do you care whether or not your view is rational?
Okay, I got a beep in the middle of that, so all I got was care and rational.
Do you care if your beliefs are rational?
Yes, I do.
Then I can, in fact, tell you what your beliefs should be, because anybody, not just you.
Cannot.
Yes, I can. If you'll shut up for one fucking second, I'll explain it. Anybody on the whole planet, any rational being, because this isn't about you, Kirby, any rational being who believes that Jenna is an axe murderer without evidence to support that is not rational. That is by definition. It doesn't matter if it's you, if it's me, if it's the person in chat. It doesn't matter. If you hold a belief without evidence, that is simply not rational. That's what I mean when I say, if you care, if your beliefs are rational, then you cannot say that you believe Jenna is an axe murderer without having an argument and evidence to back that up. Do you understand that?
I understand that, but you're not hearing it. How do I put this? If I see you walking down the street, first thing goes through my mind, if I don't know you, is, am I going to have to fight this dude or not?
That is completely irrelevant to anything I asked.
No, it's not.
Irrelevant. I'm going to mute you again because I don't want to yell over you. What you're saying is irrelevant. I didn't ask whether you thought Jenna was potentially an axe murderer. I didn't ask if when you meet Jenna, do you wonder whether or not she could be an axe murderer? I said, do you in fact believe that Jenna is an axe murderer? That is a different question. And your answer to that is what?
And the answer to that is, I don't know.
Well, okay, hold on. Then I'm going to hang up on you right after Jen is done, because I'm tired of people who will not answer the question that they're asked.
Kirby, so I understand. It sounds to me like you, when judging character, hold on, Kirby, please. It sounds to me like when judging character of a person that you're encountering that you don't know, you go on the defensive to protect yourself. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I understand that. That is a survival instinct, and I can completely understand that. I don't know if that has anything to do with rationality, but that is an instinct, and I can't knock you for that. What Matt's trying to get at is he's not trying to make a point about character. He's trying to make a point to figure out how you determine what is actually true, what actually relates to reality objectively, according to everyone. So something that would be an objective truth would be that you and I are having a phone conversation right now. That would be something that neither you and I could deny if we care about what's true. So try to not focus on the character that he's talking about, personality. We're trying to look at objective, just rationality, right? It's an objective, non-emotional subject. Does that help?
Yeah, but it bothers the fuck out of me when somebody tells me what I should or...
I understand. I understand that.
I don't care. Hello? I'm not saying what you should believe in the case of I'm telling you, here's your belief. I'm saying if you want to be rational, then you should never believe anything without sufficient evidence for it. It has nothing to do with you, Kirby. This is true for every brain. If a brain is going to be rational, then it must hold and reserve being convinced until there's evidence for it. You, on the other hand, are convinced there's a God while acknowledging that you don't have evidence for it. And that makes it an irrational belief. If you're fine with having an irrational belief, that's your prerogative. But you said you cared about the truth and you said you cared about irrational belief. And if somebody comes to me and says, I care about the truth, I care about being rational, I believe there's a God and I have no evidence for it, my answer is you, sir, are being irrational on that subject, period. It's not even debatable. It is a fact.
He is using rationality, saying, if you care about what is true, then you can't believe X, right? So he is just using a statement to make a rational statement that is just true, but it has nothing to do with emotion.
Okay, I get that. You know,
okay, cool.
And I'm not trying to be a dick. However, it's people believe what they believe. Here, let me put it like this. My issue with religion is that people allow their religion to govern how they treat other people.
Yeah.
In Islam and Christianity, you walk in and you look bad, you're automatically a bum. If you're gay, you're this, you're that. They look down on you. The way I think, look at things, I treat everybody the same till they give me a reason not to treat them the same. Some people get better treatment. Some people get far worse. Talk about rationality and what objective truths. Would you believe it if I told you I have a bullet in my head? Have since 92.
I believe that. Maybe. I have
no
reason.
No problem taking you at your word for that.
Right.
Okay.
I believe that's possible.
However,
hold on. If I told you it was my best friend that shot me, you'd have to look at me and be like, your best friend shot you? I ain't too sure about that.
No, I would believe if that's what you said.
I'm fine with your story.
Yeah.
Because those are all things that we know happen. And the only thing that could ever be wrong with me believing your story is if I find out later that it's not true, in which case now I've learned something about your character that you're not trustworthy. But I believe there could also be evidence of that in supporting your story. But when you say you believe there's a God and that you have no evidence and that you're presenting no evidence and that you don't want to debate, that's irrational. That's all I'm saying. I agree with you about religions being racist. I agree with you that people buy into things for emotional reasons. I agree with you that religions disparage people. But if you're somebody who truly cares about whether or not your beliefs are true, then you should not believe anything when there's not good evidence for it. How many other things do you believe without good evidence?
Another thing I'd like to point out is that there are people that are racist that are not religious either. I think that that's unfortunately a human trait, and I don't think that that's necessarily a religious trait. But I'd like to point out that no matter how these people treat you, whether they're Christian or Jewish or Islam, whatever, no matter how they treat you, that has nothing to do with whether or not a God exists.
Okay, and I'm not going to debate that. And as I said, I couldn't tell you why I believe what I believe, but I am. But
that's the whole point of this show, is for people to call in and tell us what they believe and why. And you called in and told us what you believed, and your only reason is because it's a feeling. Now, I don't know how much of the show you've seen before.
I can't. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I said I don't know how much of the show you've seen before, but if you're going to call in and just say, here's what I believe, and I don't have a good reason, why should anybody pay attention?
Why call in?
who does have a good reason for believing in a God? Nobody.
So far, nobody. But there's plenty of people who think that they do. You don't think you do. And that makes you peculiar because you believe something while knowing and admitting that you don't have a good reason, and you think that that's okay.
I see a problem with that.
At least it makes me aware.
What makes you aware?
Aware of what?
Or it makes me aware because I know what I think, and I know that I can't give you a tangible reason for it. I'm not going to do like these religionists.
So you know that it's irrational that you believe this at all?
I'm Steve, you're breaking up. Do I know?
I just like to clarify, you're saying that you realize and understand that it is completely irrational to believe that any gods exist, and you're okay with believing it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it's irrational for me to turn around and go the other way when I see a cop, but I do. So, it's irrational. Hold on.
That's not irrational.
So it's a better safe than sorry fallacy.
That's not irrational. Are you an African-American male?
No, I'm a Black American.
I'm sorry. By the way. I wasn't trying to. The answer to my question is yes. Then
my family's been in this country for 13 generations. I hate that phrase.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was using the politically correct phrase. I cannot read your fucking mind to figure out which one's going to upset you. I'm just saying that it's not irrational for a Black man in the United States to be a little nervous around the police. That's not irrational.
Right.
There's evidence supporting that position.
Okay, I feel you know, but. I mean, I drive through a podunk town and feel that way. Like I said.
But that's something you actually have evidence for.
Or what?
So here, let me ask you this, Kirby. If somebody came to you and they said, I believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord of the universe, and I believe that white people are superior to Black people, and I don't have any evidence for either of them, what would you think that either of their positions was rational?
No, because there's plenty of evidence to prove that what they just said was bullshit.
How are you going to prove that Jesus isn't divine?
If he was divine, we'd all know it.
No, that's not true.
Radio show.
That's not true. See, this is the point that I'm making. The people who believe that Jesus is God, they have no more evidence than you have. Actually, they have more evidence than you have. Because they at least can point to the anecdotal testimonial evidence of the Bible. You have nothing to point to other than your personal feeling. So you are on weaker ground than the Christians who believe the Bible.
Because their Bible proves what I say.
No, it doesn't.
Never was the Jesus. Yes.
You can't prove that there never was a Jesus. It's an unfalsifiable proposition.
I don't know if there was or wasn't personally. I think he's a fairy tale, an amalgamation.
Okay, stop, Kirby. Listen to me. Maybe let's make it clear. You don't know whether Jesus existed or not. You don't have evidence for Jesus existing, so you're convinced that Jesus is a fairy tale, which means when you don't have evidence for Jesus, you've reached a conclusion that Jesus is a fiction. However, you've invented another God based only on your feelings that you also don't have evidence for. So you are now what we call engaging in cognitive dissonance, where you are believing one thing and disbelieving another thing, even though the thing you're disbelieving has slightly more evidence than the thing that you're actually believing. You think that you've proved Jesus isn't real.
I don't believe Jesus is real because I don't believe Christianity is from God. I believe it's a man-made religion.
See, this is it, Kirby. We're going to stop. Because you don't care about evidence or reason. You just go with however you feel. And if that's the way you're going to do it, then you just need to own that. And you say, I'm going to believe whatever I feel, but don't pretend like you care about truth or rationality because you can't and do that.
I thought I did tell you that I believe what I believe. And that as far as truth goes, I don't see what one has to do with the other. I can look up at the sky and see.
That's because you don't care about truth enough to understand it. If you believe things and you care whether or not they're true,
you're actually there. I mean, things that I have physical proof for and you have physical proof for, I'm not going to argue that. And as far as a God goes, I don't know if there's a God or not. I do believe that there is, but I'm honest enough with myself to understand that I'm
you're not honest. You're not honest with yourself. You're not honest with yourself. That's just a fact. You are honest with yourself to the extent of you believe what you feel is right, but you don't have an understanding of what it is. You don't have an understanding of why you believe. And then you want to say, oh, I don't know, but I believe. Well, let's try and change the word. Are you convinced that there is in fact a God?
No.
That's what believe means. So you don't believe there is a God.
And that's kind of like semantics because...
It's not semantics. It's important. A belief is when you accept a proposition is true or likely true. A belief is the result of becoming convinced. So you've told me you don't know there's a God, but you believe there's a God. And then you said you're not convinced there's a God. Well, convinced and belief are synonyms.
Well, and again, you know how language is used. Give me a better word for believe or belief.
It doesn't.
Well, what are you trying to say? If you're not convinced that there's a God, then what do you believe?
I believe that there may be, and if there is, that God is who tortures people.
I would agree with that.
No, I take it. Let me rephrase this. I know for a fact that Christianity, Islam, and Judaism were written down by humans.
Yes. So, nobody denies that. Not even Christians deny that.
Bullshit, because I work with a bunch of them. I work with one that's...
No.
Most Christians don't deny that.
Who will tell you in a heartbeat that what you just said is wrong?
We know most Christians don't deny that.
Most Christians don't know the first fucking thing about their religion, their holy book, or anything else. I don't care what you, some average Christian said. It is not a tenet of Christianity that anyone other than human beings wrote the Bible, period. We know this to be true, and Christianity, in all of its various denominations, doesn't make a claim that God wrote the Bible. What they claim is that God inspired the men who wrote the Bible.
Okay, and again, semantics to me.
It's not semantics. Please stop saying it's semantics, because first of all, semantics is the study of what words mean, or more specifically, how words are used. Semantics may be the most important thing that you can understand, and you just keep waving it away like, oh, well, that's semantics. It's not mere semantics. It's the difference between saying this person was not determined to be guilty and this person was determined to be innocent. Those are two very different things.
Well, as I was saying...
No, sir, we're done. Because there's no way I'm going to let somebody do the as I was saying. Either we're going to have a discussion where we acknowledge the points and actually discuss it. You don't get to just do the, well, let me go back to what I said before, after I've said something. Did you understand what I just said? Do you agree with it? What's the problem?
Yeah, this is a really, really nuanced conversation. And what we're putting a lot of meaning behind the words that we're using. We're putting a lot of thought behind the words that we're using, because it's very easy to confuse what somebody's actually trying to say with what they're saying. So that's why we try to at least clarify our definitions. If you don't mean what I mean when you say the word believe, we need to at least come to an understanding to where we can agree on it, the way that it's going to be used.
I mean, probably 10 and 30 minutes of you saying you believe, you believe, you believe, you believe. And then when we finally got down to brass tacks, what you're saying is you believe there might be a God.
But either way, even if these religions were written by men, that doesn't mean that there's a God either. But you had mentioned earlier that God is energy too. I don't know if you want to go back to that.
How do I put this? Everything started off as a singularity, correct? That's how.
What do you mean everything? We don't know how everything started. The current presentation of our universe, explained by Big Bang cosmology, suggests that there was a singularity for our universe, but our universe isn't everything necessarily.
Okay. As I was trying to say, my understanding is that our universe started off as a singularity, a single point in space, just whatever.
No, not a single point in space. A single point. It was time and space.
That's what I just said, man.
No, it's not what you just said.
Okay,
you said
if that's what you meant, then that's what you meant. Now we come to an understanding with what you meant. Okay.
It's not even about what I meant. Matt cut me off before I got the rest of it out.
No, sir. Listen to me. You said a point in space, and I pointed out that what the singularity is a point that is all of space. It's not like there was space and a point expanded into it. All of it expanded. I was just simple correction. You did not say the thing that you thought you said.
Okay, fine. But that's what I'm getting at. And that it expanded. I believe that we are all still a part of that. Everything is a part of that. Everything is connected to a part of that.
Everything that we know of?
In what way? Connected in what way? Because I agree with you in a way where it doesn't matter at all. But if you think that I'm connected in any significant way to the Andromeda galaxy, you're wrong.
You're in the same universe.
Do you know? I mean, your tactic. Do you know that for certain?
No, I didn't say that for certain. What we do understand is that there's no strong connection between A and B until it's actually demonstrated. So until there's a demonstration that I am somehow connected in a strong way with the Andromeda Galaxy, then the default position is that I'm not. That's what you do is you establish a default position and a burden of proof. If somebody wants to claim that there's a strong connection between me and Andromeda, they have to make the case. Just like we don't begin by believing a God exists. You have to actually make the case.
Okay, but I can't say that's what I believe because you take it the wrong way, but that's my perception.
Kirby, I need to move on to other callers. I'm tired of being told that I take it the wrong way when I would argue that you are speaking imprecisely and we've tried to correct this and we've finally got to where we understand it. But it's fine for you to say, I believe this. It's just if we have a 10-minute discussion about you believing it, and then at the end of that discussion, you say, well, I believe that it might be true, you're going to piss me off because we didn't start with it might be true. I don't care what you think might be true. I care what you think is true.
Okay. I apologize.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I wasn't looking for an apology. I just want understanding. None of this has to be confrontational.
Can I just say this?
Yep.
You're a good dude, Matt, but you're one rude motherfucker. And
okay. You know what?
Cause that shit
if you'd have brought your A game and known what you were talking about, I don't think you'd think that I was rude at all. I think that if you understood that when I was speaking very precisely and you were refusing to answer the questions and you went down a rabbit trail talking about how you believe something, but you don't have good evidence for it. And then after all that, you change that to, I believe it might be true. Don't you think you'd be annoyed if you spent a bunch of time explaining something based on what someone said, and then it turns out that they said it wrong?
Yeah.
Now, do you also realize that I have 6 other calls waiting and 6,000 people watching, or I don't know how many people watching the show because I'm not in chat, but 5,000, 6,000 people watching the show. Maybe you're being rude by not accepting what we've said from the beginning or not being able to, or not being willing to just acknowledge that you believe something because you feel it.
Yeah, maybe go listen to this call again, because there were several parts that I think that you might be able to benefit from it, especially when it comes to, you know, when we're trying to use our words very carefully, because we really want people to understand what we're saying. You know, we don't want to, like he just explained, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about something when that's not even what you're trying to say. So maybe go back and listen and kind of try to nail down a rational statement, like, you know, this is what I believe and this is why. And then we can talk about that, what you actually believe.
Can I ask you one question, Kirby?
Yeah, sure.
Do you recognize that there's a difference between someone saying, I believe God exists and I believe God might exist?
Yeah.
Okay. So if there's a difference between those two and your actual position now is that you believe God might exist, do you also recognize that you started this and maintained throughout the beginning of the conversation that you believed God does exist?
Yeah.
Okay. So you started a conversation with one thing and changed it to another.
I can't just talk or speak to you guys without my thesaurus in front of me because you
won't. It's not a thesaurus. It's two separate concepts. I believe God exists. I believe God might exist. A thesaurus is irrelevant. Those are two separate concepts. Like, I believe the sky is blue, and I believe the sky might be blue. Those are two separate things.
Well, actually, the sky ain't blue.
Okay, so this is why what we're saying matters. This is why semantics matter.
I find it disturbing that you think the color of the sky was remotely relevant. I was pointing out that there's statement A, I believe X is true. Statement B, I believe X might be true. Those are two different concepts. It doesn't matter whether the sky's fucking purple with pink polka dots. I believe the sky is purple with pink polka dots, or I believe that the sky might be purple with pink polka dots. It's still two different concepts.
Okay, Matt. Like I said, I apologize for being imprecise. You know, I wasn't trying to be.
It's okay.
And basically, I called to agree with you that the Abrahamic religions are full of shit.
Except that
the basis of it.
The basis of it is unfalsifiable. But in a colloquial sense, I would agree with you. It's bullshit. So thanks.
Thanks. Yeah.
Have a good Sunday, Kirby. Oh, Kirby hung up. All right.
Nuance.
It's not even that. It's, I think, and I'm guilty of it. Everybody I know is guilty of it. We all do this, but it's something you have to work towards. There is an imprecision in the way that we talk on a regular basis. And I have spent the last 15 years working to be as precise and accurate as possible. And I get it. Callers aren't going to call in. But when I explain that, oh, you just told me you believed in God. Well, what I really meant was, I believe there might be a God, which is also different from, I might believe there's a God. And none of those are, if all you wanted to say was, but he didn't. He went with, I believe that God used to be a man who evolved and eventually we will evolve as well.
Well, but then his opinion changed a couple times.
There's to hold specific beliefs like that while acknowledging that you don't have evidence is not rational.
And I wonder what else you believe without.
It's not that's what I was trying to get to. That's why I was like, well, would you believe Jen is an axe murderer?
Right.
Would you believe that, you know, Jesus? Because the Jesus people have a belief that I view as just or also irrational. And yet they at least have a book that makes claims and supposedly has testimonial accounts in there. Kirby doesn't have anything other than what he feels. And so he's automatically on the weakest footing possible. And then to find out that he's not on the weakest footing possible, because it's not so much that he's convinced that there is a God. He just thinks there might be. Well, if I guarantee you, because our call screeners are awesome, I guarantee you he'd have called in and told the call screener, hey, I think there might be a God. I'm not sure that they would have put him through at all. I think they would have had a conversation that said, what do you mean, you know, there might be a God? Are you convinced or not?
Because, right, right.
But and the only time a there might be a God call should get through is when the person is saying, I think there is a good case to be made for God being an actual possibility. Because I don't even see God as a possibility because that hasn't been demonstrated. Oh, well, what do I know? I'm just a rude prick. He didn't call me a prick. He did call me rude, but it's fun.
That's 249.
Oh, I already clicked.
Ah, that's okay.
We've got Kevin in New York. Thanks for waiting. You're on with Jen and Matt.
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. I'd like to bring up the topic of the soul and the afterlife.
Sure.
Even though I brought that up in... Oh, yes. even though I brought that up in the screener, it sort of had to do with, bear with me for a second. I promise you, I'm not going to send you down a rabbit hole, but it kind of had to do with something about the topic of alchemy and proof that there was, a hierarchy of people that kept secrets that passed it on down to, the quote profane, in order to keep it a secret amongst the higher hierarchy. But anyway,
Kevin,
alchemy having
Kevin,
yes.
Just for clarity, I would like for you to tell me what one of the secrets is and how you know that.
Well, the basis of it all really had to do having to do with alchemy. That is the basis.
I asked what one of the secrets is and how do you know it.
The secret had nothing to do with what the original teaching was, which was to...
Do you know what it is?
What one of the secrets was, and how do you know it?
Well, I know this because...
do you know what the secrets are? I asked
what one of the secrets was, and how do you know it?
I'm trying to say it.
Then start with, what is the secret? Pick one secret that was passed down. Tell me what it is right now.
Okay, well, the secret really had... nothing to do.
That's not what the secret is.
What is the fucking secret?
It had to do.
What is the secret?
We're not asking what it had to do with.
What is the secret? I'm being precise with my language. What is the secret? Name one.
The secret is that the soul is an emergent property within the magnetic field of the human aura. Now,
okay.
Hang on. So, first of all, how do you know there's a human aura?
Well, I'm going to explain this from the premise that are trying to understand where consciousness comes from. Okay.
No, you're going to answer the questions that I'm asked, or I'm going to hang up because this is crackpottery. Alchemy isn't real. The soul isn't real. There's no such thing as an aura as far as anybody's been able to demonstrate. So you told me that there's a secret that's been passed down through alchemists that the soul is an emergent property of the energy of the human aura. Prove that there's a human aura.
Yes. This can only be proved because Well, the reason why it's not generally understood is because...
That's not what I asked. Goodbye. Okay, you wanted 49?
Yeah.
Sweet. Muhammad in Pakistan, and I apologize for my pronunciation. I'm terrible at that. But Muhammad, you are on with Jenna and Matt. How are you?
Hello.
I'm good. How are you, Matt?
I'm all right.
I'm here too.
Jenna's here.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. Kind of ready to talk about whatever God is, though.
So I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and I always had problems with that. But now the problem is I still believe in God. I don't believe that Islam is true anymore, but I still believe in God. And I
know. Do you know why?
You said, sorry?
Do you know why you still believe? Like, you can identify that you don't believe in Islam anymore. Can you identify why you still believe in a God then?
I honestly cannot. I think it's just because I was raised that way.
So for
you, that's
clarity,
a good reason.
For clarity, since we just went through this, are you actually convinced that there's a God, or do you just think it's possible that there's a God, or that there might be a God? Are you which is the case?
I'm not very sure, you know, to be honest. I think that there is a God, but I don't know.
And you think the only reason that you still think that is because you were indoctrinated to believe that there's a God?
Yes, probably.
So if that's the case, if you knew that you had been indoctrinated to think that people from Pakistan were better than people from Senegal, and then you found out that the only reason you believe that was because you'd been indoctrinated, would you continue to believe that?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I don't understand.
Sure. So let's imagine as a kid that you were indoctrinated that people in Pakistan are better people than people who were born in Senegal, or let's go with England. If you learned that the only reason, or you became convinced that the only reason you thought that is because you had been indoctrinated, would you keep believing that?
If I knew that if I was indoctrinated, no, but I don't think it's as simple as that, because in my mind, I feel like there is a God, and that's the problem. And I like that God. I don't like that God.
But so that's what indoctrination is. That's what indoctrination does, is it makes you feel like things are true that aren't necessarily true. And so that's why people would believe that, like that the racism, you know, that's why people would believe that, is because they've been raised to believe that. But then you find out that's not a good reason to believe that. And so you no longer have a reason to believe that. So you shouldn't believe that anymore, correct?
Yes, in that sense, yes. But the problem is I still feel in my mind that such a God exists.
Awesome. Thank you. First of all, we got a lot further, a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I can understand that you can recognize that you have a belief that is in fact irrational, that you can't let go of for some reason. And I have a friend who won't go ice skating, and he won't go ice skating because he's terrified that he'll fall down and someone will skate over his fingers and chop off his finger. Now, despite the fact that ice skates, somebody would have to land on his fingers with ice skates to chop them off. You can't just skate over them because they're not proper blades. And so you can talk till you're blue in the face about all the rational things and how absolutely unlikely and ridiculous this is, and how it almost has never happened that this sort of injury that he's specifically afraid of happens during ice skating. And yet he maintains that irrational fear. That is when if you want to deal with that irrational fear, that's when you need psychological help. That's when you need perhaps a therapist recovering from religion, a counselor, a group of people, so that you can figure out what is keeping you in that fear. Because if your conscious mind is saying, I don't have any good reason to believe that at all, why am I still terrified of that? Why am I still bothered by that? That's where you need and can benefit from counseling. We often recommend recovering from religion, the Psychotherapist Project, even the ACA Discord. There's people to talk to who have been through similar things. All of those things can help. Can I ask, what are you finding most difficult? And if you don't have an answer, that's fine. I'm just wondering what you're finding most difficult.
My first instinct is to say I really don't know, but I mean, I really don't know. It just feels like that, you know, there is a God. I hate that God, but I just feel like I don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to pray to that. I don't want to talk to
that God. Ignore him.
Can I just say I'm really sorry, because it sounds like you're struggling, and yeah. I can recognize what that feels like. And I'm sorry that you're going through it. But I'd also like to reassure you that once you get through this, it sounds to me like you're on a certain track, and I like where you're headed. Once you get through this, things can get easier, you know, with time. As you think about this stuff more, as you sit on it longer, that uncomfortable feeling that you have can subside.
I know, Jen. I've been sitting on it for over 2 years now. I've been trying to get over it, but this just a lingering feeling on top of my head. I just feel like this God exists. He's going to punish me. I hate him. He's a fucking asshole, but I still think he exists. I still think he can do to me whatever a rapist can do to his victim, you know?
I'm so sorry.
So Muhammad, what has he done to you so far?
Well, he's fucked up my life. He has made my life miserable in many ways, including health and other circumstances that have been put in.
Did God do any of that?
Pardon?
Did God actually do any of that? How do you know a God made your life worse?
I don't know that he did, but because I believe that he exists. That's why I think he's the one who did it.
I would recommend that you reach out to Recovering from Religion and the Psychotherapy Project, because a friend of mine, Dr. Marlene Winnell, coined the term religious trauma syndrome specifically to address people who are suffering as you are. I've known people who've been atheists, open, outspoken atheists for decades, who still wake up in the middle of the night with fear of hell. What you're going through, you're not alone. You're not the only one who's dealt with this difficult, nagging thing. Not everybody has to deal with it. I didn't, but I know people who have. And I please stop by seculartherapy.org, stop by recoveringfromreligion.org as well. And try, and there are people there who will talk to you, and they'll know more than Jenna or I do about any of this. And they will have some people specifically who are coming from Islamic backgrounds and things like that. There really are people who can help. I'm not going to say it goes away right away, or that any of this is going to be fixed, you know, tomorrow. I know you've been struggling with it for a couple of years, and I can't think of a better example in the last few months of someone who, in my opinion, is clearly going through religious trauma syndrome. That what you were taught, and this is so deep in your psyche, that even you're sitting here, a reasonable, rational, largely good person, who's like, I know this is all bullshit, and yet every day it feels like this God is messing with my life, and I hate him for it. Even though I don't have, you know, evidence that this is, it's just, I believe it. This is trauma, and this was done to you. And I don't know that Jenna and I can be much more help other than encouraging you to go to recoveringfromreligion.org and seculartherapy.org to get some help.
I would personally recommend that you spend as much time as you can talking to people who know what you're going through. I highly recommend the private discussion group and the public discussion group, if you're willing, Discord server. I think that talking about this is the only thing that can help.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Sorry.
I've never heard of religious trauma syndrome, but that sort of makes sense.
Do a little research on it.
I will look that up. And what was the organization you said that I should reach out to?
Recoveringfromreligion.org. And seculartherapy.org. And if you email tv@atheist-community.org, somebody will get you links. If you jump in, matter of fact, why don't I put you back in the queue, and a call screener will make sure that you have links so that you can contact them. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I will do.
I'm gonna put you back in the crew and back into the queue, and somebody from the crew will get you the links you need.
Okay, I just want to say thank you so much. I've been watching your show for about 8-9 years now, and I really love it. Thank you. You do a great job.
Thank you so much, Mohammed.
I hope things get better soon.
I really want you to call back and let us know how things went and whether you're improving or not. But I'm going to put you back in the queue and we'll see if we can get a call screen to get you some links. But thank you, Mohammed. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks for calling.
And I'm sorry that you are dealing with that. Let me see if there's a call that's a little lighter, because if we're both crying by the time this is over, This is not going to go all that well. But
how about 31? Or 17.
Okay. sure. There's also a couple calls there that I'm just not going to get to today, but Radu in Washington, you're calling and talking with Jenna and Matt. How are you?
Oh, hi. Hi, Matt and Jenna. Let me get the things that I wrote. How are you today?
Pretty good.
Well, I was happier a little while ago, but I'm at least encouraged that perhaps someone's going to get some help. So that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were some very intense conversations. It was pretty hard to watch. But thank you very much for what you're doing and for the eternal quest for truth that you're on. And I'm really curious to see what your take on this is going to be. So just a little bit of background about myself. I'm a software engineer working in Silicon Valley, and I have a background in mathematics and computer science. I've always considered myself to be agnostic. I used to think of the notion of God as being irrelevant. Like, I grew up in Romania in an agnostic family where the topic of religion wasn't even a thing. So I wasn't subjected to the religious upbringing that Americans have. Laplace once said at one point that he has no need for that hypothesis when referring to God. And that's how I was. But now, I've learned about these ideas related to game theory, like the Nash equilibrium, decentralized computation, machine learning, union psychology, mythology, macroeconomics, cryptography, and in particular, Bitcoin. And I've come to see all religions and forms of faith in a different lens. And it's just like, I'm losing my mind.
I'll say, because I don't know what the hell Bitcoin has to do with a god.
No, so I'm looking at this mathematical paper, right? And it's blowing my mind. Like, it's like poetry. I like to see the world from first principles and from mathematics. So imagine this. Like, imagine humanity as being this big neural network. Like, if you're familiar with machine learning, you have neurons that imitate neurons in your brain, right? If you imagine humanity as being a big neural network, and you imagine humans as being analogous to neurons,
except that humanity's not a big neural network.
Well, why not? Why is it not a big neural network?
Because apart from me communicate, can you read my mind?
No, you're sending impulses to me through waves, audio waves, text.
Right. I am doing something to communicate specifically, but it's not a neural network in the sense that we're linked. This is an opt-in scenario or an opt-out scenario. A neural network, the individual neurons don't have any say in whether they're a part of it.
Well, they're a mathematical operation, right? They take input and then they process some computation and then they give outputs to other neurons.
And so what?
Like, we take inputs
from so what?
The world, or like,
So what? That still doesn't make it a neural network. But see, so what you're doing is you've become fascinated with something and you are arguing by analogy to try to get to something else. Well, this is nothing new. I mean, the ancient Greeks did this with phi, with 1.618, with the golden ratio. They saw, there's order and perfection. It all leads to this notion that there must be some governing, which is why they viewed mathematics and this stuff as something from God. But where's the God now? Where's the God in what you're seeing?
What is the God in what I'm seeing? I think these impulses that we send to each other are corrupt in a fundamental fashion. And
I don't care.
Point because
I'm curious. What do you believe in a God?
No, I used to be agnostic. I used to be like.
It says here that the call screener. You told the call screener you believed in a God.
I don't want to know what you used to be. I want to know what you believe.
I believe in the poetry of mathematics and computer science and science being the answer to everything. That's what I believe. Okay.
Well, I've got 13 minutes left on the show, so I'm going to go ahead and skip this, and we've got some theists waiting.
I'd say that's fair.
Okay.
I'm okay with believing in science.
Yeah. And I'm fine with poetry and beauty. What I have a problem with is when we extend poetry to make claims beyond it. But it seems like while it looked like you were going to do that, I guess you're not. So maybe send an email to TV@atheist-community and we'll see what's what.
Okay. People don't believe in planes, and they don't believe in Bitcoin now, but maybe in the future.
People didn't believe in what?
People didn't believe in flying contraptions like 100 years ago.
Yes, this is a fallacy. This is a known fallacy that was like, oh, they called so and so crazy. So here's the problem: they called two things crazy, and one of them turned out not to be, and one of them still is. So you shouldn't be sitting there going, well, nobody believed in planes, or nobody believed in Bitcoin. Maybe they will. Well, the time to believe something is after there's evidence for it, and not a moment before. And if one of your primary points is, yeah, but they thought so-and-so was crazy and he turned out not to be, that's a fallacious argument. That is completely, completely fallacious argument. Do you recognize that?
No, like if some people don't understand.
Then you're wrong and you should go learn fallacies because whether or not one person was right or wrong about a different subject is completely irrelevant to whether you are right about this subject.
Do you admit to the possibility that you might be wrong, like about anything?
I'm wrong about all kinds of things, but I just asked you to recognize an actual fallacious bit of reasoning, and you don't want to do it, which means that there's even less reason for me to talk about this with you.
You know, the whole people didn't believe in planes. I think that before we had flying objects, I think it was completely reasonable to be skeptical that that was a possible thing until people witnessed it. Then we had actual evidence for planes that fly and carry people, and we can prove it. So that's how we know that he was right in the end. But until we have that, we can't assume that everyone else is right too.
You should Google appeal to ridicule. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Radu.
Hey, I'm going to try and get through a few more of these. We've got Tim in North Dakota. Thanks for waiting. You had a question for us.
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Whoa. Okay. Well, wow. There's not much time. But I'm hoping not to get in an argument. I'd like to call you guys again in the future and have a couple discussions. But for this time, I figured it'd just be kind of interesting. I don't fully understand why does an atheist value rationality so intensely?
Why doesn't everybody value rationality? Is there anything more valuable than rationality?
Do you value rationality?
Rationality is this notion that I would like to be right about the universe. I would like my internal model to be supported by evidence and be as accurate as possible. Who wouldn't want that?
What about, so that I can see how that makes sense for you, but what about
people
who just believe, I do actually want to know.
It's called logic. It's the basis. It doesn't just make sense to me. It makes sense to all of us. It makes sense to you too. Do you not value rationality? Okay, then let's stop pretending that it just makes sense to me.
Say that again.
Then let's not pretend that it just makes sense to me. I'm pointing out.
No, it doesn't.
I'm pointing out that rationality is a goal because it is about accuracy of the model in your head in comparison to the accuracy in compared to the actuality. And so I don't understand why anybody wouldn't value that, because if you're going to cross the street, you look both ways, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look both ways and you see a bus coming, but you don't care about rationality and you just decide, I feel like that's a delusion, you're probably going to get hit by a bus, aren't you?
Yeah, I would agree. You probably would. I think
so. So what is the downside of rationality? Why shouldn't we care about it?
I don't think there is a downside of rationality.
Cool. What's more important than rationality?
I'm a fan of rational thinking.
What's more important than rationality?
Totally. I'm not going to argue. I would say faith, but the reason I'm calling.
Okay, we can pause. So by faith.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I was hoping to carry the conversation in a different direction, but we can go
too late. What do you mean by faith? Because you just said faith is more important than rationality. And as far as I'm concerned, faith is the excuse people give for believing things when they don't have a good reason. And therefore faith is gullibility. Is there any position that one could not justify by appealing to faith?
I'm actually not sure if I would say faith is more important than rationality. I don't know.
You did say faith is more important than rationality. Are you retracting that?
I think I might be, yes.
Okay, then what's more important than rationality?
I'll just say, rationality is the most important right now.
Cool. So your question that you called in to ask us is, why is an atheist rationality so important? And my answer is because by your own admission, it's the most important thing.
Okay. I was hoping to ask is why, not why is it important to you? Why is it important to you that, oh, I worded that weird. Why is it important to you that other people have absolute rationality? What's the harm for people who just believe in whatever they want, and maybe it does get them killed? Why is that important to you?
Because I have to share space with them, and because I care about them, and because their lives impact my life. And so if you are so irrational that you go walking across the street and get hit by a bus, but you don't have the money to pay for your medical bills, the rest of us are going to have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. If you don't accept that there's a pandemic going on and you decide that you're just going to trust God and not wear a mask and not social distance, then you are the reason why we have over 300,000 Americans dead and are setting new records. I'm not saying you specifically. I care that other people are rational because what they do has an impact on my life as well.
And we don't like seeing people get killed.
What about? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I totally agree with that. What about for people whose ideas don't harm anyone? They're completely
like what?
Neutral. For
how? Well, how can you differentiate what's harmful or not? Because anything can be harmful in a certain light.
Can it?
Yeah, love can be harmful. Yes.
What do you think can't be harmful?
Take for instance Joe Schmo, who thinks that the universe is made of energy. You know, or
the universe is made of energy.
God is energy. That believes in pantheism, and all of their gods in their pantheistic idea are just loving and caring and want the best for people.
If that's not true, then what we have is someone who believes something that's not true, and their belief is going to inform their actions, and they're going to take actions based on an assumption that something is true when it's not. Beliefs have consequences, and beliefs inform actions, and those actions have consequences on others. And more importantly, the person who believes that in whatever benign thing you want, if it's not in fact true, then their brain used a heuristic to evaluate that claim and wrongly came to the conclusion that that claim is true. Now, that claim itself may not directly be a negative, but the heuristic that resulted in the incorrect belief, that is a big problem, because we don't just think about one thing one way and one thing another. The process by which we evaluate whether or not something is likely to be true or not gets used over and over again. So if you have a heuristic in your brain that leads consistently to this one false belief, how many other false beliefs is it leading to?
And how are those bad for those people?
He just explained it.
If it's not true.
I didn't pick it up then.
Okay. Can I try?
Sure, go.
If you believe things that are not true, that belief itself isn't harmful. The fact that you can believe things that aren't true means that you can't necessarily differentiate other things that are true or not true that could be harmful.
Okay.
If you had a calculator and it sometimes gave you the right answer and it sometimes didn't, even if it guessed, even if it got the wrong answer, but it was maybe close enough, the problem here is that the calculator itself is broken, and that means you can't rely on it to consistently give you the best answer.
Even if it is right.
Even if it got it right accidentally. It's like saying, hey, I'm going to hold up a jar and ask people to figure out how many gumballs are in it. Now, you could guess and say 17. And if it turns out you're right, that will reinforce the notion that your guesses are reliable, when in fact they are not. And when the next time you go guess, like, hey, how much of this drug should I take? And you guess, that's going to have consequences.
That whole, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, I want things that work. And by the way, I want to make this clear, because this is frustrating for a lot of people, Tim. When I talk about rationality and nothing being more important than that, that's not in any way diminishing emotion, love, compassion, all of the things that make us human, cooperation, community, all of those things are valuable, but they're also rational. People are like, oh, well, love isn't rational. Actually, while you may not always have a good reason for falling in love, the actual process of love, the bonding that takes place and caring for other human beings, is in fact rational. You could be a monumentally selfish person, a complete selfish prick, and then come to the realization that you should still treat other people with respect and decency and support their life, because we are stuck intertwined on this planet. Rationality, I can't think of anything more important, but that does not mean that the things that make us human and the things that make us enjoy life, in addition to rationality, like compassion, cooperation, community, love, et cetera, those things are valuable too. I'm not advocating for, this is like the Spock thing. We're back to Star Trek. We're going to begin the show and end the show with Star Trek. It's like logic is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah. Is survivability more important than rationality? Is the propagation of the species more important?
I don't know
about that.
So what if it turned out,
why I told you guys.
So this is a value judgment thing, and that's different.
Okay.
So we're talking about something different from like an is and an ought. The rational world tells you about what is. Mm. It doesn't tell you what you ought to do. And so it doesn't say you ought to care about the propagation of the human species, because after I'm dead, it obviously is not going to impact me, but it is going to impact other humans.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn anything today?
The reason I did. I tuned in very late. I'm sorry about that.
This conversation that we just had, did you learn anything? Conversation.
I would say I can see your point on how if you have a faulty reasoning in one aspect, that can spread to others. I still have more questions than I'd like to call later, but I can that point for you guys. Sure. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again, really.
Yep. Cheers. And happy holidays, whatever you are.
Whatever you celebrate.
Yep. All right, last caller, and we're going to run just a smidge over because Erica has been waiting for almost 2 hours. Aww. And there's no way I was going to end without taking this call. So, Erica, thank you so much for your patience. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can help out.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Jenna. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Erica.
Hey.
It says here that you've been an atheist for 8 years, but you side with Christians on social issues. Like, which social issues specifically?
Well, first, I guess I kind of want to say I've been kind of a fan of the show for a really long time. Helped me sort of get out of my Christianity. So I really have always wanted to say thank you to you, Matt. And hi, Jenna. You're new to the show compared to when I started watching it. Thank you as well for...
Sure. Thanks for saying so. It's just that we're over time. So I know you've been waiting and we're grateful. I just want to see if we can't.
Yeah. Okay.
So what are the issues that, like, give me one issue that you're agreeing with Christians on and why that is or isn't a problem? Because I agree with Christians on all kinds of things.
Okay. So I guess my first issue is First Amendment to the constitutional right to assembly, it's just so weird that everything that's happening, and it's hard, but I find myself I lost my friends to, when I became an atheist, I lost all my Christian friends. And now I feel like I'm in the same sort of boat, losing all my friends to sort of, I guess the same sort of applying the same sort of rational thinking, but to lockdown, right. I guess specifically.
To what?
Lockdown measures.
So that has nothing to do with the First Amendment of the right to assemble. Do you not think that we have a duty to protect the health of others?
Technically, I think it doesn't trump rights. I think if you give, the government, you know, the right to create rules during emergencies, they'll just create emergencies to make rules.
Okay, then you're a conspiracy theorist. Then you're a conspiracy theorist and you're not engaging in this rationally.
No. I mean,
do you think that the COVID pandemic is real?
If I had recorded everything you said, I got to say, if I had recorded every single thing you said in this show, like, and just related it to this issue, it all applies to what you're saying.
Erica, do you think the COVID pandemic is real?
Matt.
I'm going to ask you, do you think the COVID pandemic is real?
It's fine, but I mean, I'm fine.
No, not fine. Yeah. Do you think there's a real pandemic where 300,000 Americans have died?
Yeah, you're strawmanning my argument.
I'm not strawmanning shit. I asked you a question and you tried to dodge it, and I'm not going to let you. Do you think the COVID pandemic is real.
Ask me the question again.
I just asked you the question again. If you'd shut up and stop trying to talk over me, you would have heard it. Do you think that the COVID pandemic is real and that 300,000 roughly more Americans have died?
She hung up.
Did she?
Sounded like it.
Nope. No. Erica, you're still on.
I don't think so.
Well, all right. I no longer care what Erica thinks about COVID lockdown. Let me explain a couple of things. I'm going to be talking about this a little bit on the last episode of the Hangup for the year, along with a friend of mine, about what the government can and can't do and what the government should and shouldn't do with regard to setting policies to protect the public health. But if you think that, oh, if you grant the government power, then the government will just invent a scenario so that they can abuse that power, you're an idiot. Now, and I say this, yeah, you're an idiot. And here's the truth. The government is us. We have a participatory government where you can run for office, you can be elected. It is not a cabal that sits separately governing it. There's not an Illuminati running everything. There's not the Bilderbergers. You should call Alex Jones's show because he'll buy into all that bullshit. But the rest of us are trying to be rational. And we're doing it in a world where over 300,000 Americans have died, where we are constantly setting new records, new seven-day records for deaths, new seven-day records for infections over and over and over again. And some of us have, this is like a class project, and I'm tired of being the one who's working on a class project while people like Eric are out fucking smoking. I've been locked in my house pretty much since March. I'm in a fortunate position where I can do that. I'm not suggesting everybody has to stay home. I'm suggesting everybody should listen to the medical experts who are saying, wear a mask, social distances, stay home if you can. It's the people who aren't following those things. The people who are like, oh, my rights, fuck your rights. You don't have a right to spit on someone if you're infected. You don't have a right to infect other people. That is not what the right to assembly is. A government of the people, by the people, for the people, relying on the expert testimony from people who truly understand this, are doing everything in their power to give the United States citizens the best information that they can. And it's being undermined by individuals who have an ideology. Well, COVID doesn't give a rat's ass about your ideology, and neither do I. Either you're going to work with us to help protect each other, or we will lock you in your houses to prevent you from killing people.
Can we?
Martial law is something that is, in fact, a possibility. I hear that Trump is toying with the notion of martial law for potential other reasons. However, we're doing what we can, and it's not enough because some people are not participating. And if you've bought into this notion that, well, we can't let the government tell us to wear a mask because that would violate my rights, don't ever call this show when I'm on. I've had too many people come down with this. I've had friends who I thought were going to die. I'm personally at high risk. There are countless people without health insurance. If you just want to call up to say, man, I really side with my Christian friends about not wanting to wear a mask and not maintaining social distance, fuck you. I don't need you to call here ever. Now, for everybody else, let's throw all that stuff aside. We're getting ready to have a holiday break here. I don't know what to tell you guys. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Festivus, celebrate or don't celebrate, whatever you want, because that's what freedom is. That's the rational course of action. That's the humanist position, is to exercise your freedom to celebrate, but to do so responsibly. Just like if you go out drinking, you need to drink responsibly. And that means that you need a designated driver. It means that you don't take certain actions. You don't operate heavy machinery while you're on certain drugs, etc. That's the reality. We put limits on freedom in order specifically to protect people. And in extraordinary circumstances, like this pandemic, there's recommendations that people should not be traveling. That if you want to see your friends and family next Christmas, maybe give this Christmas a pass. I get it. Everybody's in a different situation. I'm not going to tell you what's right for you specifically, other than to listen to the experts. Now, Jenna's got a great hat on and a great heart. And a great smile and a great brain. So yeah, she's better than me in a number of different ways. And yet we both want each other to live. And we want all of you to live as well. We want you to have a great break. Even if you have to, you know, if you have to work, whatever. I want you to have every day is something that you can actually enjoy. But if you're going to call in to suggest that masks and social distancing somehow violate your rights, you have missed the point and the purpose of being a humanist, of caring about your fellow person and making sure that your impact on their life, because masks, when I wear a mask, it's to protect other people from me, not me from other people. And if you don't wear a mask, it means you're the one that doesn't care enough about the people around you.
We're lucky enough that we live in a day and age where we can actually have virtual holidays. We can actually have Zoom chats with 20, 30, 50 people at one time. We're in it. This is the coolest time to have a pandemic. I mean, we've had pandemics before when it was a lot worse. There was so much less available. We have Amazon where you can have things delivered straight to your door in a couple of days. You know, this is the easiest time to be going through this. So I just try to look on the bright side. I appreciate that we have this ability to be able to go through a pandemic and still be able to see people.
And I got to tell you, there's only a handful of people that I've actually spent any sort of time with in the vicinity. I had two different people come over with masks and sitting on opposite sides of the room, jamming on guitars, because sitting here with nobody around is difficult. I want, if nothing else, for everyone to enjoy the break. There won't be a live show next week, but there will be new content that we recorded. Please take care of yourself, take care of each other, in order to answer the previous callers. Why should we care about anybody else? I don't know how many times I can explain it. It's bizarre to me that anybody could not care about the people that they share space with, care about the people that are going to impact their lives. Please be good to each other. Be joyous. Have fun. Exercise caution. Stay within the guidelines. And for all of the people out there who are essential workers, the people who are working the emergency rooms that are overrun, that are working the morgues that overrun, that are working the ambulances that are overworked because we have not done what we need to do. I would like to apologize on behalf of all the people who are making your lives more difficult. You guys are the absolute heroes. You are doing it right. And if the rest of the world starts to fall in line and pay attention, I am incredibly optimistic that not only can we survive this, but we will learn something. It will hopefully keep us from having to deal with this again, because the last time there was a massive pandemic, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have access to all this information. We didn't have access to all the things that Jenna said. So to every one of the first responders, to every one of the people who are in essential roles, the people who are making sure that the grocery stores are stocked and delivering food to people, thank you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate or don't, we owe you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.